Good. Well, good evening. It's a couple of minutes past 8 now, so we'll make a little start on our week 4, question 4 of the New City Catechism. And we're going to spend some time together this evening for the next little while thinking about how and why God created us as human beings. And we're going to be doing that for a little while tonight, but let me first of all say it is good to be able to gather together. I hope wherever you're gathering from, whether you're part of the congregations at Kilmarnock, at Bells Hill, or at Calderwood Ní Scobraidh, hope that you are doing okay. Hope that you're managing all right in this season of lockdown. I trust that what would have been a very different Easter weekend was also a weekend in which you were able to know the joy of the Lord and celebrate in his resurrection and in the life that is Christ's. And because he is alive, we are those who in Christ need not fear death, but instead we have a great assurance, a great hope of eternal life, because we belong to Christ. So I hope that you had a good Easter weekend. And we're very conscious that for a lot of folks, you might be just finding things a bit harder, and things just might be bearing down on you a little bit, and you might just be feeling the pressure of the situation that we're in at the moment. Please take heart. In all that we are teaching, please take courage and strength from God's word, and please seek Him in the place of prayer, that you may know His peace at this time. We know that at various different points throughout this season and throughout this lockdown, folks will be going through some really challenging times, and so do be praying for one another. And if you do find yourself in that situation, please do reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ, that we may be able to pray for you as well in this situation. There aren't any announcements really, other than just to remind you that this coming Sunday we'll be having the next opportunity for us to join together in live stream. That's 10:30 this coming Sunday. You'll be able to access that on Facebook or on the website, just as you're doing just now. And this Sunday, we will have Stan Adams. Stan will be a new face to folks from Kilmarnock or Bells Hill, but he's certainly not a new face to folks from Calderwood. Stan and his wife Anne-Marie live in London, and for the past few years now, Stan and Anne-Marie have been coming up to Ní Scobraidh on the third Sunday of the month, and once a month they would come and preach into the life of the church and preach God's word to us. Stan will be preaching for us on Sunday morning from London, and really pray for Stan as he prepares for this Sunday, and be praying as well, because we're very aware that as he brings that message, he does so from a city that has been hugely impacted by COVID-19, and we just want to really uphold him in prayer as he brings us God's word in that season. So please do join us. There'll be more information will come out throughout the course of this week about children's material and worship playlists as we normally have. But Stan will be with us from 10:30 on Sunday morning. So let us pray. And let us move into this evening's catechism. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do this night recognize that you are the creator of all things. You are the eternal God. As we were been thinking about over this past week, you are a Father. And a triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our hearts are filled with awe and with wonder at who you are. In all of your creative power, you're the one who's hung the stars. You're the one who has created the valleys and the seas, the hills, and you're the one who's created trees and plant life and everything that we have. You created the birds and the fish and the animals, and we think of that incredible creation account that we have that declares the majesty of the only one in history who is the author and source of everything. And we think of those amazing words when you spoke and you said, let us create mankind. Heavenly Father, we know that you do not need us, that there is nothing in us that in any way completes you. But yet out of your perfect communion, Father, Son, and Spirit, you decided to create a people for yourself. And we rejoice in that great truth. We rejoice that you are the one who is enthroned on high. We rejoice that this whole creation, everything that we see, was made by you and for you, and all of it points towards you. And Father, as we think of your creation, unmarred by sin, when we think of the goodness of it, the goodness of the very first humans, Lord, we see a glimpse of your goodness. When we stand in some of our most favourite places, and places even this evening that we would maybe long to go and visit and be amongst, we marvel, Lord, at your creative power. When we seek to understand just a little bit about our universe, our cosmos, Lord, we are in awe at the vastness of the one who would make it. But yet, Father, in all of your vastness, in all of your creative power, in all of your goodness, your word tells us that you are still able to count the heads on the hair and the hairs on the heads of each person. The Lord Jesus is still the one who is a good shepherd, who will go after the one, who will leave the 99 and go after the one in search for the lost sheep. And in all of your power and in all of your vastness, you are the one who says that you are our Father. So Lord, tonight as we open up your word and as we spend time thinking about your great creative work in making mankind, Father, we ask that you would speak into our hearts. Would you speak words that would encourage us, speak words that would lift our souls and lift our eyes, that we might praise you. For you are the great God of glory. Amen. Well, our question this evening is on the screen before us. Question 4 in the New City Catechism. How and why did God create us? How and why did God create us? And before I give you the answer, I want to take a few minutes just to remind us of something that is, I think, so crucial as we look at this question. And the first thing that I want us to see is that we do actually have an answer. We actually have an answer as Christians. We have an answer to the question of how and why God created us. And that is wonderful. And that is so, so needed in our world today. So many people will look at our world and look at their own life and have questions like, why am I here? What is the purpose of life? People might even find themselves in the midst of this situation, reevaluating life and saying, what is life all about? And the great thing is that we as Christians have an answer to that question. Now, of course, some will disagree that we have the right answer, but even many of those who disagree do not have an answer at all. They may have an idea of how humanity came into existence, but what is its purpose? Why do we exist? Why are we here? And of course, there are those who would simply want to say that mankind, men and women, are just part of the animal kingdom. We are just like the animals. Granted, I might be better trained, perhaps, than some of the animals. But really, at heart, is there any difference between man and woman and any of the other animals? We use phrases, don't we, like, it's our animal instinct. And for some people, the view of how people came into being doesn't really differentiate human beings from animal life in any significant way. In fact, many would want to claim that we derived our source from animal life. For others, we maybe feel as though we are just like a machine. We've been created with certain abilities, certain attributes, but when I can no longer use those attributes, when I can no longer be of use to society, then my value is lost. I'm only worth what I can give. I'm only worth what I can do. And when somebody else can do what I can do better than me, or perhaps even when a robot can do it better than I can, I am surplus to requirements. For others, they may feel as though this life and being a human being on this planet is a little bit like being a pawn in a chess game. It's the least valuable piece. It's moved around at the hands of fate. That we move around subject to some kind of destiny, according to the stars or something else. You see, so many people are seeking to find answers to how we came into existence and why we exist. Why do I exist? Is it just to meet my basic needs? To find economic security? To find happiness and joy and wherever I want to find it? Is it to be a free agent? To do whatever I want? To exercise freedom in whatever way I choose? Is that why I exist? Well, let me begin by saying, praise be to God that we have an answer as Christians. Praise be to God that we have an answer to this question. For how unbearable would life be if we did not possess an answer to how and why God created us? But we as Christians do have an answer. And we have a glorious answer that we are able not only to hold on to ourselves and to find great hope and comfort in, but we have an answer that we're able to share. Share with those that are asking questions. Share with those that are struggling. We have a great answer. So let us look at our answer to this question just now. How and why did God create us? Well, God created us, male and female, in his own image to glorify him. God created us, male and female, in his own image to glorify him. It's a great answer to that question, isn't it? We're going to unpack it in a few moments' time, but just take a little minute to look at that short answer and to try and get the short answer into your head before in a little minute I hit you with the long answer. But take a few moments to look at that, to think about that, to try and note that down and begin to get that into your head. The question again, how and why did God create us? God created us, male and female, in his own image to glorify him. If you want, we can say that answer one last time. We can say it together. You can say it out loud where you are. Okay, let's try that together just now. God created us, male and female, in his own image to glorify him. And let me give you the long answer just now. The long answer just unpacks a little bit more of that shorter answer. God created us, male and female, in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who were created by God should live to his glory. God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who were created by God should live to his glory. I'm going to give you a little minute to read that over a few times yourself, and then I'm going to take some of the words away. Alan did this for us a couple of weeks ago to help us see how we're learning it. So I'm going to take some words away in a little minute. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to look at that and to try and take that in. Begin to memorize that. You ready to try it without some of the words there? I'm afraid with live stream I can't hear whether you're saying yes or no, so I just have to assume you're saying yes and move on to the next slide. I'm going to take some of these words away and see if you can fill in the blanks and read the whole thing with some of these words missing. And then this time round, I'm going to take a few more words away. Let's see how the memory is going. So, here it is with a few more words away. So let's see how you're doing. God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we were created by him should live to his glory. I was doing okay right to the last line there. God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who were created by God should live to his glory. Well, as we think about that answer, and as we think about just unpacking that answer for a few minutes this evening, I want us to take a look primarily at Genesis chapter 1 and at verse 27. We read these words. I'll just read from verse 26 and then verse 27 is there on the screen. Then God said, let us, remember that Trinitarian creation account that we thought about last week, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. I want us just to take a few moments to think about a few aspects of this answer. And the very first aspect is those first few words. God created man. The fact that human beings exist, the fact that anything exists, is not a chance or random process. As Christians, we do not believe that human beings have come about as a result of some kind of macro evolutionary process. We believe that the source and origin of our very existence is God himself. It is God who created man. It is not a chance or a random process, but instead it's the deliberate and intentional act of God. The reason for our existence lies with the one who brought us into existence. And when we think about the value of humanity, when we think about the worth of humanity, how incredible is it to think that you and I do not exist simply because of some fortunate random chance, but instead we are those who have been made, created by God himself. This theme runs right the way through scripture. And I'm going to encourage you in a little while to spend some time this week thinking on some of the scriptures that speak of God's creation of humanity. But listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is he who made us, the psalmist writes. Elsewhere, the psalms speak of how we are knitted together in our mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made. We are not the result of some coincidental and very fortunate series of events that results in people like yourself and myself being the way we are. We are those who have been fearfully and wonderfully made by a good and creative God. And that has a great impact, not just in terms of how we view humanity, but how we view ourselves. How quickly we can seek to devalue ourselves, to put ourselves down as if we have no worth, no importance. But as Christians, we believe that every human being, every single one, has been created by God. And that is a wonderful impact on ourselves, but it also has a good impact on how we treat others. Job understood this. He speaks to God and he says to God that he's never sought to reject anyone or mistreat anyone, because he says, did not he who made me in the womb make them also? When we think of other people, and when we remember how God has created us and fashioned us and made us, we remember that he also made every other human being. And so they have great value and great worth also. And so we are those who have been created by God. We've been created male and female. And this picks up on where John was at last week as he was thinking, and he left us to think about the diversity that exists in the Trinity, and also the diversity that exists in our churches and in humanity. And one of the diverse ways that we exist is in our gender, male and female. God created us, and he created us male and female, diverse, different beings, able to complement one another. God made us that way. And we know that there are so many who, or at least there are some, who struggle with their own identity, and who suffer from issues like gender dysphoria and other things. And as Christians, we want to be those who ensure that they get the right support that they need, to understand that a loving, good, perfect Heavenly Father made them male or female. He made us in that way. And Jesus even picks up as he teaches, and he affirms the fact that God made us male and female. Not only are we made male or female, but it tells us there we are made in God's own image. I'm sure you have pictures in your house as well. We've got pictures in the house of the boys. I'm sure you have pictures of children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or whoever it might be in your home. They're an image of the person. And when I see a picture of one of my children, the first thing that I do is think about the child. The image causes me to think about them. When I look at a little baby picture of my son, the image of that little baby causes me not to think about the paper and the ink that the picture's printed on, but it causes me to think about my son. And that is how humanity has been made. We've been made in the image of God, with the intention that what would happen is that as humanity lived as God intended, we would display God's creative power, and we would be displaying God. But as people look at humanity, they would be image bearers of the one who made them. We have been made in God's own image. And it's important to note that it was humanity, and humanity only, that was made in God's image. The animals were made according each to their own likeness, but only God was made in, only humanity was made, sorry, in God's image. Humanity is a pinnacle of God's creation. And it's all humanity. All humanity bears the image of God. And therefore, it is something substantive in human beings that bears God's image. That is, the image of God is something that is born in human beings. It's not something that human beings have because of what they've done. It's something that is born in them. They display God's image. And because we display God's image, we are those who are to glorify Him. You know, in Mark chapter 12, you probably have heard the account taught on before, but in Mark 12, Jesus is being challenged, and he's been asked about whether the people should pay taxes to Caesar, and Jesus basically answers him by saying that yes, you should give your money to Caesar because it bears the image of Caesar. But then he says, we are to give to God what belongs to God. And while the money in that day bore the image of Caesar, what is it that bears the image of God? Well, it's humanity, it's us. And so while Jesus taught that these people were to give their money and taxes to Caesar because the money bore Caesar's image, we are to give our lives to God because we bear God's image. As we learned in the first week, I am not my own but belong to God. And we have been created that we might glorify Him. We see this again throughout the scriptures. Isaiah 43 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Did you notice that? Everyone whom I created for my glory. It's why we exist. It's why we exist. And in Revelation 4, And that great picture of the crowns being cast before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Why is God worthy to receive all these things? For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. You see, it is from God's creation that he receives glory and he receives honor and he receives praise. It's why we have been made. And I'm not going to jump and talk about how we can glorify God, because that question comes up in a few weeks' time about how we can glorify God. But for this evening, I want us to focus on that answer. God created us, male and female, in his own image, to know him, love him, live with him and glorify him. And it is right that we who were created by God should live to his glory. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be those who would live to the glory and praise of our Creator God. We're called to be those who would live in relationship with the one who made us. The one who made us male and female, who's gifted us uniquely and individually. And he's done all of that in such a way that we might bear his image and that we might know him, love him, live with him and glorify him. So just as our time this evening draws to a close, I've got a prayer for us to pray in just a little moment, and the words of the prayer will just appear on the screen, and that will allow us all, wherever we are, to be able to pray these words out loud together. But I want to encourage you over the course of this week. There's so many examples in scripture, and particularly in the Psalms, where the psalmist speaks of how wonderful God is to have made us the way he's made us. How it speaks of how we've been knit together, how we've been formed by God, how he holds our life in his hands, how he cares for us, how all these different things. And what I want to encourage you to do this week is to take some time and just on your own, just to meditate and to even just write down some notes just about how you would express how God has made you. How you would express how God has made other people that you know, and to spend time thinking about the great creative power of God as he has made you and has made other human beings and has done that in order that we might glorify him. And I trust that as you do that, you'll find great profit in just dwelling on these things. Let's pray together, and let's pray the words of this prayer together just now. Maker of all, let us not lose sight that we and every human being you have made are created in your image. Never let us doubt this about ourselves. Never let us doubt this about any other man or woman, for to do so denies you the glory that is due to your name. Your likeness glimpsed in us testifies that we belong to you, body and soul. Amen. Well, it's been good to spend time together this evening. Pray that God would bless you, continue to encourage you and strengthen you in these days. And we'll look forward to joining together again at 10:30 on Sunday morning. The Lord bless you. Good night.